We're beginning here on the bottom of Kufta Vav Amud Bed, two lines from the bottom, Tan Rabbanan. Vayhi b'nso Aaron, vayom Moshe. Parsha zu asala HaKadosh Baruch Hu simaniyot milumalo ulamato. Hashem made, in front of the Parsha vayom b'nso, and after the Parsha vayom b'nso, certain markings. Lomar she'en ze mikumat, it tells us it's not its place. This is what's known otherwise as the backwards, upside down, nun, that separate out Parsha vayom b'nso in the middle of Parsha Balotcha. Rabbi Omer, lo min Hashem hu zeh. That's not the reason. El b'nei she'sefer chashuv hu b'fnei atzmo. Because it's an independent sefer Torah. K'man azla hadam ha-rabbi. Who does this statement of? Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan. Chatzva muda shiva. That they worried out. They hewed seven pillars. Elu shiva sifrei Torah. These are the seven sifrei Torah. K'man, who's like Rabbi? It's like Rabbi who says that there are actually seven sifrei Torah, not chamisha chumshei Torah like we think. Rather, there are seven sifrei Torah.
The reason to divide the Torah up into seven books instead of five books might have to do with the difference of Bamidbar before Vayhi b'nso'a and Bamidbar after Vayhi b'nso'a. Everything leading up to Vayhi b'nso'a and Bamidbar is the ideal and preferable way that Hashem wanted things to go. That B'nai Israel here are standing about to enter into Eretz Yisrael. It's given the instructions, and now they are traveling. Everything is happening as planned. From after Vayhi b'nso'a for the remainder of Bamidbar, the story is about everything that goes wrong. What should have happened and didn't happen because of all the sins. It starts with the complaining, and then one after the next, we have problematic scenarios between Bnei Yisrael and Moshe Rabbeinu, and we finally have the breakdown with the Meraglim, in which Bnei Yisrael then gets stuck in the Midbar. The reason to separate them out is that Vayhi b'nso Aaron sits in the middle here as a reminder, a bookmark, to tell us this is what should have happened. This was the next stage for, this is the next thing that's going to happen, is that the Aaron's going to travel, and Bnei Yisrael are going to go, and they're going to follow the Aaron, and it's going to take out their enemies. After that, the latter half of Bamidbar is why that didn't happen. And that might be a small explanation as to why it's considered to be seven Sifrei Torah, not five Sifrei Torah.
Matana de Poligale de Rabbi, who's Tana that argues on Rabbi, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Meratida, Parshazut, Akher Mikan, Bitekatev, Bim Koma. This parsha Vayhi b'nso is going to be removed from where it is now, currently, and moved to the place where it should have been, but should have been originally. V'lama katva kan. So then why is it sitting here? If it's not in place, it seems to be it should have been by the Degalim when they talked about the encampment and the journeys of Bnei Yisrael. This is out of place. So why is it here? Kedei lehafsig ben puranut rishona lepuranut shniyah. Separate between the first difficulties to the second difficulties. Puranut shniyah mahi. Second difficulties or problem that arose, what are they? So that's the pasuk that is found immediately after Vayhi b'nso Aaron, which is Vayhi ham kimit onanim ra bozne Hashem. People begin to complain. And then we have Vayishma Hashem vayicharapo. Hashem gets angry. Vativar b'mesh Hashem. Fire Hashem comes. Metochal b'kteh machaneh. It consumes at the edge of the machaneh. Vayitzaka am el Moshe. Kolat Moshe. Vayitpadol Moshe l'Hashem. Vayitishka ha'esh. And everything settles down. Problem is, Puranut Rishona. What is the first Puranut that we're speaking about here? Mara says, Vayisu mehar Hashem. They traveled from Har Hashem. Derama Rabbi Chama b'chanina, saru me'achar Hashem. They started to distance themselves from Hashem. So Eichan mikoma, where's the placement, the proper placement of Vayibin Soa? Amar Ravashi b'd Galim. It should have been where either the travels beforehand or in the beginning of Bamidbar, where they lay out all the Degalim. The problem with it is twofold. One is, what is the Paranut that we're speaking about over here? That Vayisumi Harashem. And that's a Pasuk that's immediately preceding Yisumi Harashem Derech Shlosh Yomim. Aron Brit Hashem Nosei Lifneim. They traveled from Harashem 3 days, and Aron is in front of them. Derech Shlosh Yomim Latur Menahem Nukha, 3 days ahead of them to see where they should settle. Anan Hashem Alem Yomam Benasam Inachana, and the Anan was with them during the daytime while they traveled. Parshio beforehand talk about the Masa Machanot, and also talks about leaving of Chovab Ben Ruel Midjani Chotein Moshe, that he leaves them, goes back to his homeland. And then it says that they traveled. What's so difficult? What was so bad about them traveling over here? Rashi over here says, regards to what was the problem, it says, Me'achorei Hashem, V'tokim ha'yamim l'masa mitavu asusuf ta'ava. 3 days after they left, they, all of a sudden, hitasuf ta'ava. Litzra'im ala basar, k'delim rod ba'kodesh baruch hu. Complain about the meat, and to speak about a kodesh baruch hu. Later on in the parsha, after Vayhi b'nso'a, right after they get into trouble with the Eish, when they were complaining, they say, Vayikra Hashem ha'okom ha'u taveira, kivara ba'am Eish Hashem. That's taveira. And right afterwards, Vasuf suf, Hashir b'yir kubo, hit abu ta'ava. Immediately afterwards, that they all of a sudden have some ta'ava, Vayishuva v'hu gam b'nei Yisrael, v'yamru miyach lenu basar. Who will feed us? Zacharnu et ha'daga shenu chal b'mitzrayim chinam. Remember all the good stuff we used to eat in Mitzrayim, et kshuim, et avtichim, et ratzir b'tzalim, et ashumim. Atan nafshenu yivesha, ein kol bilti elaman einenu. Had enough of this month stuff. It's too much. So Rashi connects between the pasuk beforehand, which is Vayisu Mi'ar Hashem Derech Shlosh Yomim, to the paranut that are found afterwards. They all of a sudden wanted some basar, hitavu ta'ava. And Rashi claims that they started already to have this problem early on, and that is what it means, Vissaru Ma'achrei Hashem. What Rashi does over here is something interesting. He takes a pasuk that's beforehand, which is Vayisu Mi'ar Hashem Derech Shlosh Yomim, says it's connected to a problem that happens after Vayibin Tzoharon. We first have the Eish that comes and consumes amongst the Am. And then we have another problem, which is they start complaining about eating Basar. But those two are in a row. They're juxtaposed. They're one after another. Vayim Tzoharon is before both of them. So Rashi says, well, what's said before, Vayisu, Mehar Hashem, Derech Shlosh Yomim, here the Gemara connects it to Me'achrei Hashem. Not Mehar Hashem, but rather read it Me'achrei Hashem, that they left Hashem. They already began to have these feelings before. As soon as they started traveling, they had these feelings. And they only get expressed later on when hitavu ta'ava, when they start to have this desire for the meat. Rashi takes something that's really after Vayibin Tzoharon and tries to shift the problem to before Vayibin Tzoharon in order to separate between the two paraniyot, to say one started before and one is afterwards. Right away, Tosafot and the Ramban al Torah jump on Rashi's explanation. It says, Perish Bakuntris, the Tosafot of Yosesh, Mazit Chiluli Shol Basar. They already were asking beforehand. But Merid, the In Yerlokain, doesn't make any sense. How could he say that? How could you pull this beforehand? It doesn't seem to say anything of the sort. And the Ramban himself also in the Torah says, he quotes Rashi. Rashi al Torah says, Asalo Siman Milafanam Achorav, Gomar Shein Ze Mikomo. Balama Katav Kan, Kedei Lafsik Ben Peronut Le Peronut, Ki Ita Bechol Kedvei Kodesh, like it's in our Gemara over here. Shon Rashi. Velo Perish, Lanu Harav, Ma Peronut Azu. Shutrach Lafsik Ba. He says, al Torah, Rashi al Torah never explains what it's separating between. Notice Garakan Bakatu Peronut, called him Vayibin Tzoharon. You look before Vayibin Tzoharon, there's not a single problem that's mentioned. Where did this come from? Like Shona Gemara Hashem, he quotes our Gemara, the Ramban, Peronut Shniya Vayi Am Kitmit Onanim. Peronut Rishona Dichtiv Vayisu Mar Hashem. Vamar Rabbi Chanina Malamech Saru Me'achorei Hashem. Which is our Gemara here. Katav Arav Beperu Shav Sham. Rashi Ala Gemara writes, Tok Shloshet Yamim Lassam Itavu Tava Asaf Suf. Leit Ra'im Ala Basar Kitim Lor Rabbi Hashem. That desire for the meat already started beforehand. 3 days later, it came to fruition, but it started beforehand. Ve'elu divrei tama. I don't know where he got this from. This is unbelievable. So the Ramban criticizes Rashi the same way that Tosafot does over here. I don't understand how Rashi came up with this explanation. First of all, Vayim Kimatonim is right after Vayim and Tzoharon. That's written first. And then only afterwards do you have a statement of Shel Tava Shnia. How come the Gemara terms Shel Tava is the Rishona, the first Paranut, and Vayig Am Kimitonim is the second Paranut. It's not the second, it's the first. And Tava is the second one. So Ulai, so he tries to answer for Rashi, Savar Rav, Shnechtavu Shaloki Sidran. They're written out of order. Ramaz Ala Rishona Bramro Mehar Hashem. And the remez to that is from Mehar Hashem. Kishemam Eit Nasam Chashvu Lasot Kain. From the time they left Har Hashem, that's what they were thinking about doing. Vivsik Vatavet Hashniyah V'chacha Chazar L'Rishona. And interrupted, wrote the second, Vayiyam Gimadonanim, and then went back to the first one, which is connected to Vayisu Mehar Hashem. That's what Ramban tries. V'ein Bazet Tamo Reach. Still, he says, I can't get there. I don't feel right about what Rashi's saying. And then he explains it. V'anyana Midrash Hazeh Matz'u Oto Ba'agadash. Nasu Mehar Sinai b'simcha, ki tinok haboreach mibeit ha-sefer. Vayisu Mehar Hashem, the same thing that Tosafot says over here. They quote the Midrash of Vayisu Mehar Hashem. The problem was that they were running away from Har Sinai. They'd spent all this time getting the laws, being involved in Torah, finding out all the new things that they were going to have to engage in and follow. And now all of a sudden they find out they have to leave Hashem. They should have been reluctant to leave. It was an experience where they got the Torah. It would have been something they should have wanted to tarry. Yeah, when it says, Vayisum Hashem, they're out of there in a shot. Versus our Parsha, right after they come out of Kriyat Yam Suf, after Az Yashir. Or then it says, Vayasa Moshe. Moshe has to push the people to leave. Why does he have to push them to leave? Because they're sitting there collecting from the booty of Yam Suf and they don't want to leave. Yet over here, when they say to leave, they're ready to go without any problems. They don't need to be pushed at all. Amru, Shema Yibeh V'yitein Lanu Mitzvot. They say, let's out of here. Maybe we'll get more mitzvot. Maybe the Torah will get bigger if we stay here. Ezeu V'yisu Mar Hashem. Shaya Machshvatam La'si Atzma Misham. They wanted to take themselves out of here. Mipnei Shuhar Hashem. V'zeu Puranut HaRishonah. That's the first problem. V'yivsik Shlo Yu Shalosh Puranut Smuchot Zudazu. And the Ramban says, we don't want three problems in a row. Because then they would have three in a row, which would be a chazaka and paranut. Then he says, chet puranut. According to the Ramban, what we're talking about here is not puranut, punishment, but rather chet, a sin, something they did wrong. He says, over here, before Vayim and Soron, we don't see any punishment for running away from Har Sinai, for leaving. We just see that they did something wrong, but not that there was any punishment. So, Vishema il malei chatam zeaya machnisam laaretz miyad. Says there is a punishment. The punishment was that they would have gone into Eretz Yisrael immediately. This forestalls their entering into Eretz Yisrael. So Vayim and Soron is placed there to separate between these three Puranut, and because of this, Vayisume Har Hashem, and then the subsequent two, that caused them to tarry and not enter into Eretz Yisrael right away. And then step by step leads to the Meraglim, which eventually will keep them in the Midbar for the 40 years and have them all die out. Both the Tosafot and the Ramban on the Torah argue on Rashi's understanding of what the Puranut is here and what is Vayehi ben Soharon separating between. And the Ramban, the Shitato, is not likely to acquiesce to Rashi's explanation because the Ramban is a strong believer in Mukdam u'muchar b'Torah. The Torah is written in order, unless it states otherwise. Unless it specifically gives you a date, it's written in order. In order to explain the way Rashi does, you'll kind of have to mix things up and switch around the psukim, which the Ramban would be very reluctant to do because of his shita, Mukdam u'muchar b'Torah. The Torah is written in order.
I have a small question. Huh? What does the Gemara ask first?
So that would support Rashi's understanding. The way the Gemara asks it, much like you're saying, is that they first say, what's Purat Shniyah? And they say, Vayam Kimitoninim. Then they say, what's Puranut Rishona? According to Rashi, that's really the Hitavut Ava, which is after Vayam Mitoninim, but they connect it to the Pasuk Vayisum Arashem. So that would actually be evidence to Rashi's understanding of the Pasuk, that the Purat Rishona was written, or is detailed, after the Puranut Shniyah. That is support for Rashi's understanding of it. The other reason would be, the reason they brought the second one first is because it's easy to understand what the Puranut was.
Yeah.
The second one, they have to give a drasha, which is that Vasaru Me'achrei Hashem, which is not obvious what the first Puranut is, and that would be, I guess, the explanation of the Ramban and Tosafot. Ibai Elohu, Hagil Yonim Shel Sefer Torah, the margins of a Sefer Torah, Matzil Notam Mipnei Adilika, or Ein Matzil Notam Mipnei Adilika. Do you save the margins of a Sefer Torah, or do you not save the margins of the Sefer Torah? Do they have a Kedusha? That's basically the question. Is there a Kedusha to the margins of the Sefer Torah? That's right. Sefer Torah Shibbala, the Sefer Torah that's been worn down, Im Yesh Bala Lakech Shmonim V'Chomesh Otiot, if you could find in it 85 letters, Kegon Parshat Vayehi ben Soharon, the length of the Parsha Vayehi ben Soharon, which is what got us here, is that Vayehi ben Soharon is the smallest, quote-unquote, Parsha, or Parshiata in the Torah, and it involves 85 letters. So that's considered to be a significant sefer. So if you find these 85 letters together and you can have a sefer, that's enough to require you to be gonez the sefer. So if you have that, matzilin. V'yamla matzilin. So if that's the case, you would save it. If not, you wouldn't save it. V'amai. Why do you need these 85 letters? Typically, mishum gilion didei. Should just simply because of the margins that are there. Umar says, okay, first of all, makom aktav lokim ibayile. We're talking about the location on which you write, I have no question. Dechi kadosh agav tavu de kadosh. The reason that the area where you write on the Sefer Torah is kadosh is because you wrote on that area. Azal ktav, azalak dushate. So when the ktav, when the writing disappears, so does the kedusha. So it's clear the area where you write is only kadosh because of the writing. If the writing is no longer there, there's no longer any kedusha. The question is, whether it's above, below, between the different columns, in between the parshiot, all the empty space that was originally empty space. So then, what is the din there in terms of that gilyon? That gilyon was never made to be written on. Since it was never made to be written on, does it have a kedusha inherently because it's the margin of the Sefer Torah? Or maybe doesn't have any din of kedusha?
As opposed to the rest of the Sefer, the rest of the Sefer is already burnt up.
Right, the rest of the Sefer is what we just saw here, was erased. Say the rest of the Sefer has already been erased, so there's nothing in the middle, there's no tav left. The question is, does it have a residual kedusha because of the margins? Because we just established that if you erase the tav, there is no kedusha left on the area of the tav. Does the margin itself create a kedusha?
Would it be a
so, right, so the Gemara rejected that understanding. The Gemara preempted that and said no, because in the area you wrote, we know the reason that has Kedusha, because you wrote there. So if you erase that, you've taken away the Kedusha. The Kedusha was imbued in it because of the writing.
This is an area that never had anything.
Right, but it's not supposed to have anything written on it. So that's the way the Gemara frames it. So it avoids that question by framing it that way. Gemara says, well, Seder, even if you set up the question this way, typically Mishum Dahau. What about the fact that in this case here, you're still looking for 85 letters in order to save it? Why don't you just say that the margins save it? Even if you're not talking about the erased part of the Sefer Torah, even if you're talking about the real margins around it, Why don't we just say you can save it because of the margin? The fact that the Braita never looks for that as a reason shows you that the margins don't count. Where it says the Gaiz Vishadi. This was a safer Torah where the margins were already cut off. It had the margins cut off and all the writing was erased. So now they want to know, does it have Kedusha? Now you got to find these 85 letters. So it still doesn't answer our question. Tashma. Gilyonim shel malav shel matash ben parsha the pasha shel ben daf ledaf. Kula the sefer shel sofa sefer. All the blank space in the sefer Torah. Mitamim et hayadayim. Harkens back to the first parak in the Masechta with the Yud Chet Dvarim, the 18 gzerot that the Chachamim made in terms of Tuma. One of those things that mitamim et hayadayim is the Sifrei Kodesh. Sifrei Kodesh mitamim et hayadayim because they didn't want them storing them with the Truma. They used to put together with the Truma. Problem was that the Truma was getting eaten by, or infested, eaten by pests, and then they were also eating the Sifrei Kodesh. So it forced them to separate between the two. They made the Sifrei Kodesh mitamim et hayadayim. Because of that, they wouldn't be able to put them together with the Truma. So if they're mitamim et hayadayim, so that's indicative of the fact that these margins do have Kedusha. Here you have an explicit Mishnah from Yadayim that says that the margins are mitamim et hayadayim. Well, they'll only be mitamim et hayadayim if they have Kedusha. It says, wait a minute, Dilma Agav Sefer Torah shining. So maybe over there it's different, because in the case before we spoke in the Braita, we were speaking at a Braita where the Sefer Torah was worn down. Or worn out. So there, you could ask the question about the margins. But over here, you have a full-fledged Sefer Torah. And maybe the margins are only Kadosh because you have a full-fledged Sefer Torah. We haven't clarified that point yet. It might be that when the Sefer Torah is intact, the margins are also Kadosh. Might be when the Sefer Torah is not intact, or when there's a problem with the Sefer Torah, that the margins also lose their Kedusha. You have no proof from this Mishnah, except for the fact that when the Sefer Torah is intact, that the margins do have Kedusha. So Tashma. Hagilyonim, v'sifrei minim, eim atzilin otam mipnei adleika. Margins, and the sifarim of the minim, you may not save them from a fire. Now this sifrei minim is going to get more interesting in the Gemara in a little bit, but Rashi over here interprets what is sifrei minim, mishartim la'avod azara. People who serve avod azara, v'katvu lehen Torah nevi'im v'ktuvim. And they wrote for themselves a Tanakh, ketav asherit v'lashon ha'kodesh. It's written like a proper sefer Torah. Now, Tosafot does take issue with that. He says, look, clearly, if the Min themselves wrote it, then it's not a good Sefer Torah. That clearly goes into it. What we're talking about here, it was written by a Jew, and then they used it, or they got it, in order to use for themselves. So these Sifrei Minim are not saved from the Dleika, and neither are the Gilyonim, which are these margins. Ela Nisrafim Bim Koman. Hain Vaskarotam. They're burnt in place, them and the Shemot Hashem. My love, what are these Gilyonim? Gilyonim to Sefer Torah. Rashi says, "Lo, gilyonim de sifrei minim. It's the margins of these sifrei minim." I said, "I don't understand it." Hashda sifrei minim gufayuin matzilim. You don't save their sefer Torah as a whole. Gilyonim miboy. You have to tell me that you don't save the margins. Tahaki kamar b'sifrei minim harihen kegilyonim. Sifrei minim have the same din as their margins, which is nothing. They don't do anything with them. Gufa. So let's investigate this. Hagilyonim v'sifrei minim em matzilin otam mipnei adleika. Do not save them from the fire. Rabbi Yossi Omer, b'chol, if it was a weekday, huderet azkarot sheben, you have to carve out, cut out all the shemot Hashem, v'gonzan, and put them into geniza, v'ashar sofam, and the rest you burn. Amri Rabbi Tarfon, akapach et banai, means akapach means I'll shorten the life of, I'll cut off, they will die, my children will pass away. Shim yavod li'yadi, shani esrof otam, v'et azkarot shbehem. I had an incident like this, I would not cut out the Shemot Hashem, I would burn the Sefer and the Shemot Hashem together with it. Shafil adam rodef acharav lohor go. Even if it's being chased by someone to kill him under the threat of death. Or there's a nachash, rats lahakisho, snakes after him to bite him. Niknas, the beit avodah zarah. You can hide yourself in a beit avodah zarah, v'ein niknas lebatayim she'elu, and you cannot go into the houses of these people being the minim. So better to go into a beit avodah zarah and then into the house of the minim. Shalalu makirim v'kofrim. Because the minim know what they're talking about, and they are still kofer. And they are aware, knowledgeable, and yet, despite that fact, they're kofer b'Hashem in the Torah. Shalalu ein makirim v'kofrim. They are over the avodah zarah, which is masei avotehem v'yadehem. That's what the Gemara says in other places. They just follow. They have a mesorah from their parents, and that's how they worship. They don't really think about it so much. They're not actively, philosophically against the Torah. Just happens to be that this is the Mesorah that they got, so they continue the practices of their parents. So over there, we look at them as lefi tumam. They're doing it just out of the normal course of their life or their activities, and therefore we would run in there to hide. But these people, these minim, who are out to be neged Torah, there you cannot go into those areas to save yourself. Aleim akatuv omer, achar adelet v'amezuzah samt zichronech. Behind the door and the mezuzah, you put my memory, meaning that they threw Hashem behind the door, like place where you put garbage or you put waste. They chucked Hashem over there behind the door. Amar Yishmael Kavachomer says, Umala so shalom ben ish lishto. When it comes to making peace between a husband and a wife, Amra Torah shmish nichta bikdusha. My name that's written, bikdusha, in holiness, imache alamayim, where you're erased in the water. We're talking about here, mesota. So you erase the shame Hashem in the mesota in order to bring peace between a husband and wife. Halalo shematilim kina veiva v'tacharut ben Yisrael avim shebishamayim. These people that cause jealousy, hatred, competition between Yisrael and Hashem. Alchad kama kama. Certainly there to burn their sfarim and erase the shemot Hashem would be fine because it's saving the peace that should be between Hashem and Bnei Yisrael. Baleem amar David, and on them David says, Halo, misanecha Hashem esna. Shem, those that hate you, esna, I will hate. Ubit komumecha et kotat. And those that rise up against you, I will take issue with. I will quarrel with. Tachlit sina. Sanitim. I hated them with that tremendous hatred, that full hatred. Toivim hayuli. They were like enemies to me. David HaMelech correlates between those that are enemies of Bnei Israel and those that are enemies of Hashem. Those that are out to cause problems to Hashem are also enemies of Bnei Israel. And therefore, put shalom between Bnei Israel and Avim Shebishamayim is also to eliminate those that are enemies that are causing problems for Bnei Israel or problems for Hashem. She'im she'im atzilin otan mipnei adleika. And then he continues, just like you don't save them from a fire, kachem mitzilin otan lo min ha'mapolet v'lo min ha'mayim. You don't save them from a landslide and not from water, a flood, v'lo midavar ha'ma'abdan or anything else that destroys them. Don't think this is just a unique din in Shabbat, that we're afraid you're going to put out the fire, so we said don't save them from the fire. This is a general principle that any destructive force, you do not save them from. Now, by minei, Yosef bar Chanin mi Rabbi Yabo. Rabbi Yochanan asked Rabbi Yabo, Hani sifrei debe Avidan, matzilin otan, mipnei adleika o'ein matzilin. These sifrei Torah that are found in Be Avidan, do you save them or do not save them? In Vlav. He said yes, no, v'rafi yabiyade. He didn't have a clear answer. Rabbi Bo was a little bit shaky on the answer, and he never had a solid answer. Now, the Gemara tells stories about this. Rav, lo azel lebe avidan. He did not go to Avidan, he refused to go there. Goshken lebe nitzrafe, and he refused certainly to go to Beit Nitzrafe. Beit Nitzrafe was a temple to the Persian fire god. There are others that want to say that Beit Nitzrafe was the meeting place of the Nazarenes, the Jewish Christians, where local matters were discussed and religious debates were held. So that's a alternative view of what Beit Nitzrafe is. We're going to follow the interpretation that it was the Persian house of worship for the fire god. So over there, he refused to go there because it was a place of Avodah Zarah, so he refused to enter into that place. Beit Avidan was known as a public, a cultural center, a debating area where all the different religions or all the different movements would come, and they would espouse their philosophies, and they would have sfarim for each of the religions, and it was an open forum to discuss these issues. So Rav would never go to either of them. He would not go to Beit Avidan where there was no Avodah Zarah. And then he would not go to Beit Nitzrafe. Shmuel, where the Beit Nitzrafe lo azil, he would not go to the Makom Avodah Zarah, the place of the Persian fire god. But he would, Beit Avidan azil, he would go to this place of Beit Avidan. I'm related to Rava, my time alo atit to Beit Avidan. They were asking Rava, meaning that the non-Jewish authorities, well, to Rava, why didn't you come to Beit Avidan? You're a leader of the Jews, you should be there to debate in these philosophical arguments. So I'm related, he said, Dikla planya ike borcha, there's palm tree on the way, because it bothers me, there's palm tree on the way. He said, no problem. Neakre, we'll get rid of the palm tree for you. He wasn't expecting that. He says, no, duchte kashali. After, if you dig up the hole there, it'll be problematic for me too. Obviously, he gave an excuse why he didn't want to go there. But what was he afraid of? He was afraid of, he and Rav, who didn't go there, were afraid that they were going to kill them. That if they went there and they got into debates, they wouldn't have any mercy on them. Even if they won the debates, anything happened, they would have no mercy and they would get killed. Right, the Ramban got thrown out of Spain right after his debate. Rabbi Yosef said, I'm friendly with these gentlemen over there. I'm from amongst them. Not literally from amongst them, but meaning that he was mi'urav babriyot, he was friendly with them. And v'lo mistafina minayu, and therefore I'm not afraid of them. After saying that, Zimnechad Azil, he went there one time, Baldu Sukune, they wanted to kill him. The government brings that as evidence to the fact that nobody is safe over there in the Beit Avidan. And that's why Rav and Rova stayed away from that location. They refused to go to the Beit Avidan. So that's the story here. Beit Nitzrafe, everybody agrees you can't go there because there was Avodah Zarah there. On the other hand, the Be'er Avidan, which didn't involve directly Avodah Zarah, but still was endangered to life, a place that involved Sakana, there, Rav and Rova refused to go there. Shmuel went there, and so did Mar Bar Yosef. But we see that even Mar Bar Yosef got into trouble over there. But then we run into a problem here, that the Gemara, the censor, had a big eraser, came in and erased the next two lines in the Gemara. So now you're missing two lines in the Gemara, and the two lines read like this. Rabbi Meir, Havakari Lei, Avon Gilyon. Rabbi Yochanan, Havakari Lei, Avon Gilyon. So these are two lines that are missing from the Gemara, would actually make a lot of sense in the continuation of the Gemara. Gemara here entered into discussing these locations without really explaining what happened. They had these Sifrei de Be'er Avidan, which were these Sfarim, the Sifrei Torah that were found in Be'er Avidan, that they were used for the debates, or they were written for to have all the religions, you know, Sfarim there. But then it gave no explanation to what happened. We have this, and then it drops off. The remainder here is something called from the Greek word omgilion. Word is probably pronounced evangelion. Evangelion from the word evangelical. The Greek word that's being used here is talking about the gospel, as it's known in English today. The Greek word evangelion we refer to the New Testament. And now you have two Tanaim here making a play on the word of evangelion. The New Testament. The New Testament involved both, but there's otherwise known as the Old Testament to them, and then the New Testament, which is that it had Sifrei Torah. There was a Sefer in there that included a Sefer Torah that should maybe otherwise be Kadosh. And that would explain the context in which this is written. The word min, then also would be changed over here. Min is a word that is many times used by the Gemara or the censors to cover up for something else. The min obviously refers to here to not a min, but rather an alternative religion that they were arguing with that the censors would have liked to take out. And that would have been the explanation over here of this flow of the Gemara. And then we have a statement by Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir said, Karile, he played a play on the word of Ungulion. He would wrote, Aven Gilion. Aven is Rasha, something evil, something that is sown, bad accident that happened. Gilion. And then Rabbi Yochanan played on it in Karile, Avon Gilyon with an ayin, the sin of the Gilyon. So they're playing on the word that described, the Greek word that described the New Testament, in Evangelion, and they were speaking about it in a disparaging manner. And they're making a play on the word, breaking it down into two words of either Oven Gilyon or Avon Gilyon, meaning the empty book of sin or the empty book of evil or bad accident. This ended up getting eliminated by the censors, as well as the Rashi that commented on this as well, that was taken out by the censors. Then you have another story, a subsequent story, again, which probably connects back to this same context, but again, it has some fixes in it that eliminate any reference to alternate religions. Ema Shalom. Ema Shalom is the Bitu de Rabbi Eliezer. She was the wife of Rabbi Eliezer. Achati de Rabbi Gamliel, the sister of Rabbi Gamliel. Anyway, this comes up in a story when they put Rabbi Eliezer into Shamto. Important that she was the sister of Rabbi Gamliel because she tried to protect Rabbi Gamliel from being killed or dying because of the pain that was caused to Rabbi Eliezer from putting him into Nidu, into excommunication. She would never let him say Tachnun. She would never let him say Tachnun, Gemara and Babetzia. She prevented him from saying Tachnun because she knew if he said Tachnun that her brother would die. Rabbi Gamliel would die because he had caused this pain to Rabbi Eliezer by excommunicating him. As a side note, that tells you the power of Tachanun, how powerful a tefillah it is, and maybe you shouldn't be so ready to skip it all the time. It has a tremendous power in terms of tefillah. What ended up happening is that one day she didn't know whether they were going to make it a two-day Rosh Chodesh, as we call it today, a one-day Rosh Chodesh, whether it was going to be a mubar or not. She thought it was Rosh Chodesh, that he wouldn't be Nofel Apayim. Turned out it wasn't Rosh Chodesh, it was Nofel Apayim, and sure enough, Rabbi Gamliel died that day, first day that Rabbi Eliezer had said Tachanun. How philosopha b'shivute. There was this philosopher in their neighborhood. So again, philosopher is an interesting term that's being used here. Rashi terms philosopher, he says, philosopha min. He calls it a min. That's already interesting. In other places, if you look in Avodah Zarah, Rashi interprets philosophin, chuchmei omot. Talks about the wise men of the other nations, which would be the interpretation of philosopher. And that's what Tosafot says. Tosafot says the Greek word philophos is who duda chachma, means the source of wisdom. So they all recognize that the word philosoph should be meaning something of a wise man, not something that's negative of sorts. But what seems clear, and from Rashi saying having a min in here, that there was a censorship of this section. And this section also had the word, whether it was min in it before or it had, again, some other religion that was mentioned here, that what seems to be what transpired in this story. So it had this individual, David Shokyo, Shma Delo Mekabel Shokhta, that he used to publicize himself, that he was an honest judge, and he accepted no bribes. So Baal Lechukei Beit. Rabbi Gamliel and his sister wanted to get a good laugh out of it. I don't think a laugh, but they wanted to prove it wasn't true that he didn't accept bribery. Aile Shrago de Dahabo. The sister of Rabbi Gamliel, Ima Shalom, brought him a golden candelabra. And then she came to adjudicate in front of him with her brother Rabbi Gamliel. Amrlei bina denifle geili benichsei debei nashe. I want to divide. I want to get my portion in the inheritance that's fallen from our father. Samuel plogo, go ahead, split it. So he said back. Rabbi Gamliel interjects and says, "Divan b'makom bra bratelo tirot." That our Torah says that when there is a son, a daughter may not inherit. Amalei min yoma de galitun marachon, from the day that you were exiled from your land, not lit oraita de Moshe, the Torah of Moshe was eliminated. Vet yehivit. Now, our Gemara says, sifra achriti. And another sefer was brought. Obviously, there was a different girsa in the Gemara, and the girsa in the Gemara here was avon gilion. Again, the same play on the word, the on gilion. Now they played this, again, this disparaging term of Avon Gilyon. The sin of Gilyon replaced the Torah Moshe. Uchtibbe, and written in it is, Bra ubrata kechada yartun. That sons and daughters are equal in the face of inheritance. The machar hadar ayole ihu chamra luba. The next day Rabbi Gamliel brought him a donkey, a Lubian donkey. Samar luhu. So now they go back to continue the case. He says, Shvilit the seifa de safra. Says at the tail end, the prologue to the Sifra. Again, the Sifra over here is a change in the girsa from Avon Gilyon. Because of Bey, Ana lo mifkat min oraita de Moshe atiti. I didn't come to detract from the Torah of Moshe. And the girsa here should be Ella lo sifi al oraita de Moshe atiti. I came to add on to the Sefer Torah of Moshe. You can see that in the Masorah Tashas. The older Sfarim have Ella. Or you can read it, both of them as in a negative term, which is, I didn't come to add, I didn't come to detract. But the Sefer Makti Bey, Mamakom Bra, Brata Lo Tirat. He said, you know, the Torah of Moshe says that daughters in the face of sons have no claim. Amr Lei, she says back to him, Nahor, Nahorei, Kishraga. So Rashi interprets Nahor being like the Nahar, the river. The river's length is like that of a candlestick. Well, she was hinting to him about the candelabra that she had given him as the bribe. I think you'd also say, Nahor Nehorei Kishraga, that your light is light like a candelabra, meaning that, what happened to my bribe? Samarlei, Rabbi Gamliel says to him, Atachamru Batash Tashraga. The donkey came and kicked over the candelabra. So they wanted to publicize the fact that this individual was not exactly a straight-laced, honest judge here, but they were bribing him, and he was changing his mind every time he received a bribe. All of a sudden, he found a new way to adjudicate the case in the favor of the one who bribed him. Okay, now we move back to our Mishnah. Mipnei ma en korin. For what reason do we not read in the Tuvim on Shabbat afternoon? Amarav lo shanu ela bizman beit midrash. That's only true when the beit midrash is open. Of shalom bizman beit midrash korin. After the beit midrash is closed, then you can read in the Tuvim. Meaning that before they ate on Shabbat, they used to be in the Beit Midrash, they used to have the drush. After they ate, they didn't have a drush in the Beit Midrash because they were afraid of shikrut, of getting drunk. Problem that we always see with their meals, they drank wine, they drank alcoholic beverages. So after that, they don't let them duchen, the kohanim don't duchen at mincha time. They didn't give drushot because they were afraid after they drank the wine that they would not be in a proper state to give the drush. So before the drush, then there's a restriction against reading Ktuvim because you have bitul Beit Midrash. They read the Ktuvim, they're not going to show up to the drush. After the meal, where nobody's, the Beit Midrash isn't open anyway, there they don't have any problem with you reading Tuvim. But Shmuel Amar, Afilu Shlo Bizman Beit Midrash in Kurim. Even after the meal, you can't read the Tuvim. Ini, is that really true? Bahad Narda. By Narda, it's right to Shmuel, which was the city of Shmuel. Ava, Narda, Piske Sidra Biktuvim in Minchat Shabto. They used to read the Tuvim on the afternoon of Shabbat. They used to read from the Tuvim publicly in the shul on the afternoon of Shabbat. Go back to Daf Chof Dalet Amud Aleph. Over there, Tosafot quotes this Gemara. And you can see here the Sunnah Tashaz is also quoting it. He says, Hainu Haftorah. There was Haftorah at Mincha time on Shabbat. And Haftorah at Mincha time was from the Ktuvim. Opposed to our Haftorah, we have Haftorah B'Shacharit, which is from the Nevi'im. That Haftorah from the Leni at Mincha time that was from the Ktuvim. And that's what this is referencing. That they had this Haftorah at Mincha time that they read from the Ktuvim. So now Gemara has to reinterpret or amend the machlok between Rav and Shmuel. Itmar hachi itmar. If you want to say their argument or state their argument, it should be this way. Amar Rav lo shanu ela b'makom beit midrash. That's in the beit midrash. Avo shalom b'makom beit midrash korim. If you're not in the beit midrash, then you can read it. In the case where you're sitting there and the chacham is doresh, then you can't be reading the ketuvim because that's going to distract you from listening to the drasha of the Rav. So, you know, all those papers that they give out in shul and everybody's reading them while the Rav's giving the drasha. So that's a problem. So we don't want you doing that. But if you're not in the Beit Midrash, then you're not listening to the Rav anyway, so then we don't worry about it. On the other hand, Shmuel Amar, Ben B'makom Beit Midrash, Ben Shelo B'makom Beit Midrash. Whether you're in or out of the Beit Midrash, it's a problem. Because if you're outside the Beit Midrash and you're reading it, you're not going to come to the Beit Midrash. Aval, Zman Beit Midrash, in Kurim, Shelo B'zman Beit Midrash, Kurim. When it's the time of the drasha, you're not allowed to read it. When it's not time of the drasha, then you're allowed to read it. So Shmuel still says, depends what time of day it is. If it's a time that it's against the drasha, then we say no, because you're supposed to be at the drasha. If it's after that time, then it's fine. That after the time when the drasha, late in the afternoon, when they had mincha and they leaned, then they also had this haftorah from the ktuvim, and that was fine, because at that point in time, there was no drasha. So that was why it was permissible to have that. Rashi Amar, the olam kidamran miyikara. Now, go back to the original way we stated. Shmuel k'Rabbi Nechemya. And Shmuel is not explaining his own shita, rather explain the shita of Rabbi Nechemya, the Tanya. Even though they said you're not allowed to read in the Kitvei HaKodesh, you're allowed to learn, let's say, be'iyun, you're allowed to delve into them and be doresh in them. Rashi over here says that shonim bahen means that you're allowed to learn midrash, shira shirim, v'kohelet, midrash rabbah that's associated with them. Nitzrach pasuk, if he needs to read a pasuk, mevivro ebo, and he can take him out and read from them a pasuk. There's no real restriction against him. Amarim nevichem, yipnei ma'amru kitvei HaKodesh ein korin bahen. What's the reason you're not allowed to read in the kitvei HaKodesh in Shabbat? Until now we thought the reason was mipnei bitul beita midrash. Nechemya says a different reason, because kedei shiomru bikitvei HaKodesh ein korin koshke mishtarei hedyotot. If you're not allowed to read even the holy books of the Tanakh on Shabbat, certainly you can't read the newspapers. Rashi over here gives two things. He says, "Kigon shel cheshbonot," your accounting ledgers, you can't read. Oh, igrot hashluchot limtzo chefetz, or letters that are sent that are looking for something, for an object. So Rashi says both of those are surim. Tosafot takes issue with that. He speaks about these letters a lot. He says, first of all, he says, Nira Lareed, Zalo Kari Shtari Hejotot, El Shtari Chuvot. One thing that's called the Shtari Hejot is a obligation, meaning it's something that has to do with business matters. Avali, Groth Shari, to read letters is Mutar. And the Pamim, listen to this, Sheesh Behem Bikuach Nefesh. Sometimes there are life and death matters inside of these letters, and you need to open the letters because you need to be able to read them and find out. Fafilio Deash Embo Bikuach Nefesh. What happens if you know that it's not a life and death matter? Matir Rabbeinu Tam. Says Rabbeinu Tam said it was fine. Chen mashma b'Yerushalmi, and he says the same thing is true in the Yerushalmi, that only chovot and shtarot mekach u'memkar are problematic. But to read letters, first of all, sometimes there is pikuach nefesh in them, and if there's not pikuach nefesh in them, maybe there's a tzorach gadol. But they're not called shtari hejotot, that they're not a problem because it's not going to involve you in business matters. So he lets you read the letters. Then he writes at the end, which is very interesting. Mil oton milchamot haktuvim belaz. These stories about battles and the wars that are written in laz, call it Ashkenaz, they're German or French, whatever foreign language that they are written in. Nira the Rabbeinu Yehuda dasur la'ayin behem. You can't read them on Shabbat. The lo gara mihadatanya perkshuel katav shetachad atzura vadnyonko tasur likodem b'Shabbat. And then he makes a comment. V'afilu b'chol lo yadari mihitir. Says even on a weekday, I don't know who let these people read them. Davalei k'moshav leitzim. It's like sitting around and idle chatter. Says, I don't know, these books about the battles and the wars. I don't know what he's referring to necessarily. I don't know if he's referring to things that are non-fiction or fiction. It's not clear to me what he's referring to over here, but here he talks about that these types of secular books are not necessarily appropriate to be read on Shabbat, and that's included under this restriction of shtarei hejotot. The things that are neutral, like letters, which are fine to read on Shabbat, that's fine, but business matters and business documents are not appropriate to engage in them on Shabbat, and that would also make them muksa, because they're inappropriate to be used on Shabbat, that would also make them muksa to move them around. So now, explaining Shmuel's position, what the Gemara is saying here is that Shmuel agrees to Rav. Shmuel agrees with Rav that the problem here is bitul beit midrash, and bitul beit midrash is only before you eat. After you eat, there's no bitul beit midrash. Then why did Shmuel say, even after the beit midrash, even after they left the Beit Midrash and they went to eat, that you still can't read the Ketuvim? He was espousing the view of Rabbi Nechemya. Rabbi Nechemya, who says the reason has nothing to do with Bitul Beit Midrash, but rather because of Shtari Hejotot. The Shtari Hejotot is the Kal V'Chomer you learn. If you can't read Ketuvim HaKodesh, then you certainly can't read these other items. That applies all day on Shabbat. That's not something that's unique to when the drasha is, when not the drasha is. Shmuel was just bringing us that opinion of Rabbi Nechemya, but he doesn't necessarily subscribe to it. It's not his opinion. He holds like Rav, and that's why in his Beit Midrash, They read the Ketuvim late in the day. They had a Torah from the Ketuvim because he believed the problem was because of Bitul Beit HaMidrash. Right, next Mishnah. Matzilim tika sefer ima sefer. You're allowed to save the cover, the mantle of the sefer, along with the sefer itself. Batika tfilin ima tfilin. You're allowed to save the tfilin bag along with the tfilin. Now the more important thing is not the bag itself, but alfa pi sheish bituchan ma'ot. The issue here is that what happens if there's money in the bag, or something that's mukseh, or something that's not useful or allowed to be carried on Shabbat, that's in the cover along with the davar hakadosh that you're saving.
So.
Right, but here we allow you to save them because otherwise you're going to have the tefillin be burnt up. We gave you a dispensation to save them because the person will be boa mamono, and if we don't let you save him, he's going to put out the fire. So we allow him to take out the Sefer Kodesh. So now, once we've given that dispensation, we now say he can take out the covers with them. But what happens if the covers also have money in them? The answer is you can take them in one shot and you can take them out. To where can you take these objects? Mavui she'inu mifulash. Now here it says to a roadway that is not mifulash, means that it's stopped on three sides. There's only an opening to Rishut Rabim on the fourth side. So on that fourth side, we force you to put up a lechi and a korah and to do shituf mivaot in order midrabanan to allow you to carry there. But midoraita, this would be a Rishut Yafid, and we allow you to carry in there and violate the din derabanan because of the circumstances. They waive the din derabanan. But lemavuya mifulash, no, you can't go into an open area, which means that only two sides are blocked in. Two ends are open. Two ends are open to Rishut Rabim. There you can't do it. Ben Betera Omer Afle Mifulash. Ben Betera says you can even take it into this open roadway and Shabbat. Right, for sure you can't take it. That's a malacha. That's a total malacha. The specifications here are only to violate Dinei Dirabanan, not to violate Dinei D'Oraita. Tan Rabanan. Arbasar Shekoliot B'Shabbat. 14th falls out on Shabbat. The 14th, obviously, we're talking about here is the 14th of Nisan, which is Erev HaPesach. So Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbat. And now, Mafshitin et HaPesach ad HaChazeh. You have a problem because you're not allowed to do melacha on Shabbat. Carbon HaPesach is doche et HaShabbat. So you do Shechita, and then you have to flay the animal. You have to get the skins off to get out the fats to put on the Mizbeach for the Korban HaPesach. So the Tanakhama says you can do the Hefshek ad HaChazeh until the area of the chest until clears the area where you need to get the fats out. You can do the whole thing. So the Chachamim say you can remove the skin entirely, you can flay the animal entirely, whereas Rabbi Ishmael, no, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says you can only flay to the point where it gives you access to the fats on the inside that you're going to put on the Mizbeach. He's practical. He says you can't do more melacha than is necessary on Shabbat. On a weekday, you would flay the whole thing because you want to keep the skins. The skins are valuable, and you can use them afterwards. On Shabbat, we're not going to let you do that because it's a violation of Shabbat. Now, if it's a violation of Shabbat for the purpose of Korban HaPesach, that's fine. But a violation of Shabbat for your own personal benefit that you're going to cut the skins off, that we're not going to let you do. Bishma, Mother Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho, Rabbi Yochanan ben Roko, Tahayit Avid Le Tzorach Kuboa. We understand what you could do for Hashem, that's fine on Shabbat. That's Dochet HaShabbat. So you can flay the animal until the chest area, so you can get out the fats and go on the Mizbeach. El Rabbanan, my time. What's the reason behind the Rabbanan? Amar Abba, Bar Barchan, Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Kra. The Pasuk says in Mishlei, Kopal Hashem Lemaneu. Everything that you do is for Hashem. V'achamai Lemaneu, Iga. What are you doing for Hashem here when you skin the entire animal and you flay the entire animal? What are you doing for Hashem? Yosef Amashle Yasriach. If you leave it wrapped in the skin, it's going to cause the insides of the animal to heat up and it'll go bad. Rabbi Amash, lo yu gochei shemayim mutolim kinevela. That shouldn't be strewn on the floor like a nevela, an animal that was killed where they just leave it, like roadkill, left out on the floor here with the skin on it and stuff like that. Proper ways to give kavod and to remove the skins and to make it look like it's something that is desirable. Mabi nayu, what's a nafkamina between these two reasons? Ikem nayu demanachab torah didahavo. It's placed on a golden table. Golden table, you don't have a problem of bizayon anymore, but you do have a problem of it heating up and being masriach. Inami yoma distano. On a day that is cooler, istano, Rashi says, is the day of the northern wind, even though the southern wind is the coldest wind. Decide that fact, when they're at a northern wind, it makes it cool. So on a day that is cool, then you have to worry about masriach, but you do have to worry about the problem of bizayon. What does he do with that pasuk? The fact that need to take care of it. He says, you don't just go stick your hand in there and grab out the fats. You actually take off the skin until that point in order to take out the fats. My time up. What's the kol Hashem maneu on that? Because of the hairs or the wool that get caught in it. If you just ripped it out or you pulled it out, it would get caught on the hairs or the wool and it would be ruin the fats that are going to be put on the Mizbeach. So in order to prevent that, they opened it up. Amar Avista, Amar Marukva, Ma Hajulei Chavraya the Rabbi Shmuel Benosh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. What did the Chachamim answer to his position? Achikamalei, Im Metzalim Tik, HaSefer, Im HaSefer. If you can save the cover of the Sefer with the Sefer, lo nafshita de Pesach mi'oro, can we flee the Pesach entirely? So here we have the reason why this is all brought here. Otherwise, what did it have to do with our Gemara? The Gemara brought it here because it's a proof from our Mishnah. Midami, the Gemara says, I can compare them. Hatam tiltul hacha malocha. Over there in our Mishnah, we're talking about an Iser derabanan of tiltul. So over there, there's a dispensation for the Tikka Sefer along with the Sefer. Hacha, we're talking about a full-fledged malacha. Flaying the animal on Shabbat. Hefshet is one of the 39 melachot. So Amar Ravashi b'tarte plige. They argue on two issues. Plige b'tiltul or plige b'melacha. They argue about both of these issues. One is that they argue about this issue of tiltul. And they also argue about this issue of melacha, whether this hefshet is classified as melacha over here. And then they say, v'achik amrule, and that's what they said to him. Tzilim tika sefer, ma sefer. Lo netadel agor agav basar. If you can save the cover of the Sefer along with the Sefer, certainly we should be able to take the skin along with the flesh. Right? The Gemara here continues. I'm going to stop only because it's going to go halfway through the Amud tomorrow. A question about what exactly is considered. Bus is the Davar Asur, Bus is the Davar Mutar. They involve Sugya. That's very important in terms of Dinei Muksa. So we'll continue with that tomorrow.